the Rick Pitino transaction wire is kind of nuts. And we're going to look at it as we continue our discussion of the 1990s here on this Thursday, Locked On Celtics. Really? Let's go. Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. Ooh. This is the truth like 34. Yeah. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. John Corrales here of MassLive.com, thanking you once again for making this show part of your daily routine. Happy to have you on board as we continue our deep dive into Celtics history. If you're just joining the podcast, you're just picking up now, you've missed a full-on discussion from the beginnings of Boston Celtics history, like before they were the NBA. We pick it up from Red Auerbach, Walter Brown, the original owner of the Boston Celtics, all of the Bob Cousy, who they didn't want at first, the weird way that they got Tommy Heinsohn and Bill Russell, all of that stuff. So go back. If you haven't subscribed, go back and please start from the beginning. The Celtics history is a very long and unique one, and we've been talking about it here on the podcast for weeks now. So we started in the 1950s, we did the 60s, 70s, 80s, now we're into the 90s. Rick Pitino, it's all brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and get the best tasting protein bar on the market. It tastes just like a candy bar covered in 100% chocolate. All sorts of great flavors, great options for people even with nut allergies or gluten sensitivity. It's all at BuiltBar.com. Go ahead and use the promo code Locked On for $10 off your first purchase. Today, we continue with the Rick Pitino discussion, and we dive into some of the transactions. And when we say impatient Pitino, this guy signs a guy over the summer, trades him in training camp. Signs a guy 1 year, trades him the next. Just completely ruins the Boston Celtics franchise with move after move after move after move. No vision for the future, just kind of impetuous movements. So we continue this conversation. It's me with Chuck McKinney and Mike Dinan of RedsArmy.com.
After falling short of Duncan, that summer is when he makes the move for Travis Knight.
Yep.
7 years, $22 million. Like Mike said, he gives Chris Mills 5 years, $33 million. And then in October, he moves Mills. I'm just looking at the players. So you just invest $33 million in a prize free agent. And then 3 months later, you trade him to the Knicks for Scott Brooks, Dante Jones, Walter McCarty, and John Thomas. Just like guys, right? Just a group of guys.
I mean, right. Not difference makers, like right, you were saying, Chuck.
How is he not, after one season, fired on the spot? I mean, because he was paid an astronomical amount of money. But right. If you look at those 4 months, if you're Gaston, and I don't know how close attention Gaston was paying, but holy crap. Wow, my blood pressure is getting worked up about what happened 23 years ago. But, and I think we all put this out of our mind and – you know, Pitino was – he'll probably always be public enemy number one for Celtics fans. But holy crap, when you really go back in and dig into the details, it's almost worse than I recall. Wow.
You know what, though? Remember John said the Celtics were 20th out of 29 teams in attendance the year before? Well, Pitino's first year, they were 10th. So yeah. That, there you go. If Paul Gaston had any complaints, it wasn't about ticket sales.
Well, that's true. His contract, though, with the Boston Celtics was what? It was like a $70 million contract. I want to say it was 7 years, $70 million or something like that. Like it was ridiculous, which is why you don't fire him on the spot. They had made this commitment to Rick Pitino, and no one thought that that was ridiculous, because again, when they hired him, we're all like, yeah, this is great. We got Pitino and we locked him up long term. This is perfect. You know? But you're right. Like, how do you turn around and sign Chris Mills and make that commitment? First of all, how do you make that commitment to Chris Mills?
I mean, we almost want to give him credit for recognizing his mistake and then moving on from it.
Right. So like, I'm looking at that deal and I'm thinking, like, that could be one where you say, like, buyer's remorse. At least you got, you got Walter Riccardi out of the deal? You know? Yeah. At least we got I Love Walter out of it. You know? We got I Love Walter. Like, that's a...
Walter,
run. Walter, run. Favorite Tommy Heinsohn moment. Run, Walter, run. But that's the Rick Pitino thing. The other Rick Pitino problem is that he's playing these NBA players, and I don't know how his time in New York was so successful. I really didn't do any deep dives with that. All I know is that with the Celtics, he was playing these 82-game, you know, you're playing an 82-game season, you're playing with NBA players, and these guys are starting to make, like, big-time money. Like, the money is starting to creep into this kind of level where these guys aren't just making money where they're sort of set for life. They're starting to make real life-changing money. And so telling these guys to press for 48 minutes, coming at them with the college coach mentality, like, you're the king, this is the era where the players are starting to take control. The 90s, this shifts. And it started to shift in the 80s, but as free agency really starts to ramp up, as the money really starts to ramp up, shoe deals start to really ramp up. You know, in the 80s, we did these Converse weapons commercials, but, like, the Converse weapons were the official shoe of the NBA. Everybody wore those things. Now there's no official shoe of the NBA. Everybody's got their own deals. So Antoine Walker is off making his employee number 8 commercials. These other guys, these other stars are going off and making commercials and trying to get endorsement deals. They don't want to hear it from this guy for that long. And so not only is he impatient, not only is he pulling the trigger on all of these things, he's also running these guys into the ground. And they're just like, I don't want to do this for 48 minutes.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Proper nutrition is difficult, especially if you've got a sweet tooth, but Built Bar can help you out because it is the best tasting protein bar on the market. You can satisfy a sweet tooth while getting all of the protein that you want without a ton of extra calories, without a ton of extra sugars or carbs or any of that stuff. You go to BuiltBar.com and you can see all of the different flavors, coconut-based, fruit-based, 100% chocolate over all of the bars. You have flavors with nuts, flavors without nuts if you've got a nut allergy, gluten-free if you're gluten-sensitive. There's something for everybody at BuiltBar.com. I've been using them as a sort of breakfast, a good starter, because at breakfast you need protein and carbs, some good carbs. So I do a Built Bar banana, glass of water, and a coffee. And that gets me going in the morning, gets my body everything it needs to get through the day. And you're not going to get that noon kind of lull because your body already has all of the stuff that it needs. You can use it after a workout. You can use it as a snack. However you want to use it, Built Bar is good for you and it tastes great and it's covered in 100% chocolate. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON. You can get $10 off your first order. You can buy a bunch of flavors that you like, or you can mix and match and do a mix box and $10 off with the promo code Locked On. Like I said, I've been eating them. I think they're great, and they'll give you the protein that you want, the taste that you want, without all of that extra stuff. So BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On for $10 off your first purchase.
Well, that team was mildly exciting, right? I think you could look at that team and you'd feel good in the rookies and Antoine and Mercer and Billups. And like we just saw in The Last Dance, they upset the Bulls, right? There was that following season, Antoine's second season, right? Mercer and Billups are rookies. That this is 97-98, right? Going into 97-98.
Yep.
Where they upset the Bulls. I mean, they go from 15 wins to 36 wins. So I think you'd think, or you could get the feel that they're building on something. They have young players. You'd say, okay, Patino's erratic, but they're building around Walker and Mercer and Billups, and the rest are gonna, you know, fill in the slots. But it was halfway through the season that he trades Billups.
Yeah.
So that feeling goes away quickly.
So much for building on him.
You know, I mean.
Oh my God. So yeah.
This is really where the PTSD really starts to come in. These are the things now, Chuck. We're what? We're 24, 25, 26. Like, this is our era where we're like, we're adults. We're aware. We're invested. But we're still young enough where it's like, you know, we're 20-year-old, 20-something-year-old Celtics fans. And so here's the big turnaround, and all of a sudden you trade Chauncey Billups 51 games into his career to Toronto. Yeah. So that deal was Chauncey Billups, D. Brown, the D. Brown era is over, Roy Rogers and John Thomas for Kenny Anderson, Popeye Jones, and the the best big man in the league, Zan Tabak.
Yeah, so Kenny and Patino had an affinity for just big contracts because Anderson was getting paid and he had a long term deal. So you're trading out, you know, a bunch of guys who were making short money, and then you take him on relatively short years, and then you're taking back this massive contract. Now Kenny was fun; he was a fun player in 2002, but not. I don't think anyone felt like he, considering the college player, you know, the hype he came, you know, from the NCAAs, he never really lived up to that expectation, right? So he had a few years in the league, I think, when he came to Boston, and it just wasn't, I don't know, it didn't make sense.
Let me just throw out a stat to reinforce all of this. Patino, during the season, he traded at least five players that he had either signed, drafted, or traded for in the preseason. So at least five guys that he acquired after being hired in May, I think it was.
Yeah.
So over the summer, then before or during the season, he traded away five of the guys that he had brought in.
That's insane.
He couldn't make up his mind.
It's so mind-blowing to me as we go back and relive this stuff that this all happened in such rapid succession.
Yeah.
It's a wonder that Paul Pierce survived. Let's go past all of these moves to the 1998 NBA draft. The Celtics, for once, something kind of works out in their favor. The Celtics ended up with the 10th pick. Paul Pierce is very highly touted out of Kansas and was expecting to go much higher than 10th. The Celtics in that draft were targeting Dirk Nowitzki, actually. And who knows how things would have worked out with Dirk in Boston. But he ended up going ninth. He went, that was a Milwaukee selected him and traded him to Dallas. The Celtics get Paul Pierce, and Paul Pierce famously tells this story of the kid who grew up in Inglewood saying, "Oh shit, no, not the Celtics. Of all teams, not the Celtics." And he has multiple times said, not only the Celtics, as growing up a Lakers fan, he didn't want to come to Boston and be a Celtic. He didn't want to play for Rick Pitino because word had been out that Rick Pitino runs this shit like a college team, and he didn't want to be pressing all the time. So Paul Pierce is drafted 10th in 1998 and is, like, not happy about it.
They were lucky they got him. It was pure luck.
I mean, really. you look at the top 10 of that draft. I mean, if you were to redraft that top 10, you know, it could be Dirk 1, Pierce 2, I don't know, Vince Carter 3. But there were a bunch of guys in there who maybe played a few years, like Ola Wakandi, Bibby LaFrance, Robert Traylor, Larry Hughes. I mean, that all were picked above Pierce. So there was some lottery luck there that allowed us to get him.
Tractor Traylor.
And I do remember, you know, a little bit of the Pierce story, knowing he was, you know, he was a heralded player. And I think even at the time, we felt like, you know, we caught a break there. Obviously, I wasn't sure how good he would be, but it was another piece. But what are we thinking? I mean, who knows what's, you know, so what? He drafted Pierce is drafted 10th. Where is he going to be in 3 months? Nobody knows. Right?
The only thing then was what they were doing was putting together a young team. They had a core sort of developing of players who were under 25. You had Antoine, Pierce, Mercer, Petit, Walter. They were all under 25. Only Kenny Anderson really was an impact player who was older than that, and he was only 28. So something was taking shape, even if it was sort of by accident.
Well, I mean, you're right. It worked out well for the Celtics. Now, this was the lockout year, correct? His first season was the lockout year. So
right, they didn't start till February.
So they only play 50 games. The Celtics go 19-31 that season and do not make the playoffs. I mean, Rick Pitino doesn't make the playoffs. Like, all of the stuff that we get, all the stuff that we were looking forward to in Boston when they signed Rick Pitino to this whole big thing, he was in Boston for 3 full seasons. Well, and even that's not right. He had 2 full seasons, a lockout season, and then in his 4th year, he quit. We'll get to that in the 2000s podcast. The 2 years of Pitino are just... Paul Pierce is the only good thing. Or Antoine. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. The most useful app on my phone at this point is the Blinkist app, and I'll tell you why. I'm busy just like you are. It's hard, even in this pandemic, to find time for things like self-improvement, reading books, and learning new things. So Blinkist really solves that problem. I just use Blinkist for a long drive. Now, a lot of people, when they go on a long drive, they will download an audiobook, maybe 2. I use Blinkist to download like a dozen different books, and it boils them down to about 15 minutes. So you can read or listen to these books in just 15 minutes. So just like successful people, business leaders who are known for reading a lot of books, Blinkist condenses these books. It's made for busy people like you who want to get to the main point of a book quickly so you can start using that information right away. Like I said, it's got that audio feature, so you can use it in the car, on a commute, a lunch break, while you exercise. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now. It's got a massive, growing library from self-help books, business, health, to history books. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists, as well as classic nonfiction titles. Those books that you always say you wanted to read, they have them. With Blinkist, you can get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books. All the books you want for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for this audience, just for you. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA. Try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. You'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA.
The kicker to that lockout season, which they went 19-31, is that he had traded their first round pick. He had traded the first round. This is one that I just read about that I'd completely forgotten about. He traded DeClercq and the first round pick to Cleveland for Vitaly
Potapenko.
And then right. So it's, you know, they're 19-31, but the Celtics don't have a draft pick. And then Cleveland with that pick takes Andre Miller. You know,
he got criticized for that. There was, by this time, you know, there wasn't a lot of slack being given to Pitino. He was getting criticized. Things were starting to break down between him and the media and the fans. Well, you could see all these things. That was one of the real straws that ended up breaking the camel's back, him trading that pick for no reason, to get really nobody.
What year was the famous quote? What year was the infamous quote with Larry Bird, Kevin McHale?
I think it was 2000.
It was a little later. Okay.
Yeah.
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 But he was already on the path to that. That lockout season, you know, they started out at 7-7. They split the first 14 games. But then they lost 10 of 11 and they never recovered. So if he had been able to get something out of that season. That was a short season, as we said, and if you remember, the Knicks made the finals that season, and they weren't that good anyway, but they just got hot at the playoffs. And, you know, anything could have happened, but the Celtics under Pitino didn't follow through, and they fell off. And that was just the story of his whole tenure in Boston.
This is really unforgivable because
the other stuff's forgivable.
The other stuff is unforgivable. This is really unforgivable. Because you're right, Chuck, looking at this sequence of events, the trade, Andrew DeClercq and the first round pick for Potapenko was in March, and the Celtics were at that point, they were a month into the season. That trade was made on March 11th. The season started on February 5th. So on March 11th, they were already mired in a losing streak. They had just lost on March 11th. March 11th was their third loss in a row, fifth loss in six games. They were kind of like struggling. They were middle of the road. They had a huge losing streak. Like after that trade, like everything fell apart after that trade. But the season starts late. It starts in February already. They're already playing, and he must have thought that I need something. I need help. And he goes ahead and gives up a first round pick to get Potapenko, thinking that Potapenko is going to, you know, help them turn things around. All of these mistakes, by the way, all of these mistakes are bigs. When he turns around and trades these guys away, he's trying to find a big. He's desperately trying to find a big in this era to be his like his center of the future. He's not really buying into building around Pierce and Antoine Walker. He's desperately looking for a big, and this may be his biggest mistake in that search for a big, that they completely screw themselves. Now, Cleveland picks Andre Miller. Maybe the Celtics don't pick Andre Miller. Sean Marion is available at that point. It's not a great draft, but Andre Kirilenko is in there. Kirilenko back then was AK-47. He was pretty good.
Ron Artest.
You know, Ron Artest before he, you know, like early Ron Artest was pretty good. He was a pretty dynamic guy. But
or just make a better trade. Just get right. Something of value.
He didn't have to make a trade. That was just it. It was nonsense to even make a trade, much less what it was. He gave up not only a first-round pick, but he gave up a player to get back a player who was no better than the guy he was trading.
Right.
I do understand that you might say, I have a bunch of young players. I'm going to take a chance on, you know, maybe they looked at the draft and thought, outside of the top, you know, a couple players, maybe there's not somebody there that really lights us on fire, and we have enough young guys. We need some sort of – Potapenko was he was a few years older than – I think he was a few years older than Tuan and stuff. It seemed like it. And he's a big – he fills that sort of immediate need. But if you're going to move the pick based on the fact that you want to fill a need and maybe you don't like the draft, the simple key to that is – I don't know. Is there no value in that draft pick? Like Potapenko's the only guy you could have secured for that? It just seems unforgivable.
You want to feel even better?
Yes.
You want to feel even better?
Please.
Okay.
Please.
As not having a first round pick, they did have a second round pick via some sort of trade that had been made years before. It was number 55. They took a guy named Chris Clack. Uh-huh. Who never played an NBA game. And number 57,
oh, God.
The Spurs,
oh,
took
God.
Manu Ginobili.
Oh, Ginobili.
Oh, God. Oh, Mike, I hate you so much.
So it's a fitting conclusion to the 90s.
Oh, my God. That's right. So the Celtics missed out on two of San Antonio's cornerstones. For their dominance, for their dynasty. And they could have, they actually had the opportunity to draft Manu Ginobili.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. Well, that hurts my feelings. You know, not getting Manu, who knew? Like, there's a reason why Manu Ginobili went where he went. But it's just the ultimate, like, kick in the balls at that point. Like, everything's gone wrong. Everything, you've missed out on so many players. Rick Pitino's movements have really ruined everything for the Boston Celtics. And then on top of it, you draft Chris Clack instead of Manu Ginobili. And again, to be fair, no one knew at the time. But looking back, and you can look at it and be like, oh, man. I mean, really, Tim Duncan and Manu Ginobili were both destined for the Boston Celtics, and something took them away from the Boston Celtics, and it created a monster in San Antonio. So considering the way Rick Pitino was running the team, the basketball gods did what they had to do, I would say. We continue and finish the 1990s. Tomorrow with the Friday podcast. So subscribe if you haven't subscribed. Share the podcast if you have subscribed and tell your friends that they should be listening. Rate the show 5 stars if you can somewhere. Give it a good written review. Follow it on Spotify. Go to BuiltBar.com. Built Bar makes the best tasting protein bar on the market. It's covered in 100% chocolate. It's all the protein you want. Not a lot of calories. None of the extra sugars, none of the extra carbs. BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your first purchase. Now, tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Hollinger and Duncan.